cradio.org.au.
Justice, Unity and the Hidden Christ. An address given by Dr. Matthew Tan at the launch of his new book at DePaul University, Chicago.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much, Bill. I'm really grateful for your presence here and for taking some time out to share this moment with me. It's been my really good fortune that I was able to work with the editors of Wittgenstock, and an even greater fortune that the release of this book coincides with the 50th anniversary of the Vatican II document that is explored in this book, namely the Declaration on Ecumenism, Unitatis Redintha Gratia. Now, a lot of people have been asking me, when I tell them I've got a book coming out, a lot of people ask me, what is the book all about in a line? And, you know, thinking, sure, why not? I wrote the book, I should be able to talk about my own book. And then I open my mouth and then I freeze. Then an awkward silence ensues, kind of like that. Because on the face of it, the book may appear to be an analysis of a document of Vatican II, or more specifically, it's actually an analysis on a paragraph of a document on Vatican II. Paragraph 12 of Unitatis Redintha Gratia that exhorts joint social justice projects that when done, these joint social justice projects will provide a clear joint declaration between Christians of different denominations to the world of what the document calls the contours of Christ the servant. In other words, do social justice projects together and Christians can declare Christ to the world. So, at one level, this book is interrogating the assertion made by this document with the question, does social justice still clearly declare Christ to the world 50 years on in a postmodern age? Now, as the back cover of the book says, you can't simply answer this question with a simple yes or no. The answer, I argue in this book, hinges on yet another inquiry that goes beyond the words of Unitatis Redintha Gratia itself. So while on its face, this book is about a Vatican II document, it's also going beyond the Vatican II document to suggest a way to read any document of the Council. And as I indicate in the book, the documents are not just read in isolation. You can't just read a single paragraph in isolation, nor can you read a single document in isolation. You have to read the document within the context of two things. Other documents within the Council and, this is the focus of the book, and the cultural and political context that circumscribes the documents, their drafters, and their readers. For cultural institutions and cultural and political presumptions play a big part in interpreting not just the documents, but their actions as well, including acts of social justice. Which is why I point out that joint Christian acts of social justice are also at the same time inevitably caught up in cultural and political discourses, practices, institutions that reshape and redirect the logic of any action. Processes that the book calls a theopolitical complex. But as far as I am aware, there has been no work done that pays attention to this cultural and political aspect of ecumenism. And this is a gap that I hope that this book will make a small contribution in addressing. It is this attention to the culture and politics surrounding the ecumenical act of social justice that makes the book, that takes the book beyond its first step. It steps into the crisp and clear light of a Vatican II document and into the dark, inscrutable morass of social theory. In particular, the social theory of Michel Foucault and his biopolitics. I use social theory here to dig under that first question, does social justice declare Christ in a postmodern age, to ask a second question. What constitutes an action that declares Christ to the world? Is the act of social justice enough, or is there more that is needed? The more that is explored in this book is the theopolitical complex, which acts as a refractor, a filter to the meaning of any act, including acts of social justice. To put this more concretely, I argue in the book that acts of social justice by Christians that do not pay attention to the cultural and political context of the act will end up finding that act serving purposes other than heralding the kingdom of God. And the act may actually end up declaring an affiliation to other bodies apart from the body of Christ. The book also argues that ignoring this cultural and political context may actually undermine the ecumenical intent of the act of social justice by accepting as part of the Christian gospel the underlying presumptions that underpin the institutions within that particular context. In the book, I look at three of these institutions and practices: the state, the civil society, and the market. And I argue in this book that to accept these institutions as part of what we consider the social in social justice, to put it bluntly, actually undermines ecumenism as a visible reconciliation between diverse ecclesial communions, because it reduces them to merely joint agreement between individuals over certain ideas. That is not visible communion. That is a thinned out ecumenism. A thinned out ecumenism that serves not the body of Christ, but those institutions that militate against the visible communion of the body of Christ as a visible social, cultural, and indeed political formation. To protect the intent, the ecumenical intent of the Council Fathers, I argue in the book that there must be a new attention given to this political complex, and that the church requires a political complex, a theopolitical complex of its own, a countercultural and a counterpolitical complex. So then the question is, what does this Christian theopolitical complex look like? I hint in the book that a theopolitical complex that is properly of the church and for the church cannot be found in any civic code, but in a paragraph of the first encyclical of Benedict XVI, Deus Caritas Est. I dedicate the last chapter of the book to showing how the ecumenical intent of the act of social justice can be protected by what Benedict XVI calls the church's threefold responsibility. Worship, which is liturgia, diaconia, which is the ministry of charity, and kerygma materia, which is proclamation. All of these elements always presume each other. Should one be excised from the others will be rendered nonsensical, so says Benedict XVI in Deus Caritas Est. The argument that I make in the book is that conceding to the theopolitical complex by excising charity, diaconia, from worship and proclamation renders the body of Christ invisible, hiding Christ from view in the name of unity and justice. The book hints at the need to find ways to reverse this excising of these responsibilities of the church in the name of pursuing at once Christian unity and the maintenance of the political status quo. So as you can see, this is not just a book about a paragraph of a document of the Second Vatican Council. It is also a book about how Christian acts have now become battlefields for one's loyalties, and how that battlefield now is slowly being colonized by what St. Paul calls the powers and principalities of this world. This book is also an exploration as to whose imprint is left on the act of social justice after the council. Even those acts of social justice that are ostensibly done in the name of Christ. This is why I quote St. Ignatius of Antioch as in the book's epigraph, and I'll end my presentation by just reading this quote. "For just as there are two coinages, the one of God and the other of the world, and each of them hath its proper stamp impressed upon it, the unbelievers, the stamp of this world, but the faithful in love, the stamp of God the Father through Jesus Christ." That is from his letter to the Magnesians. So in conclusion, let me thank you once again for coming. Thank you for your attention and enjoy the food.
That was Dr. Matthew Tan launching his book, Justice, Unity, and the Hidden Christ, the Theopolitical Complex of the Social Justice Approach to Ecumenism in Vatican II. And for more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.
Cradio.org.au.